in a more in-depth way. Scripture explained to all of us that all the attraction of the world fit into only three categories. People says, well, there are all kinds of temptation, millions of temptation, if you will. But the Bible only classified them into three. If you can only master those three temptations, your problems are over. The question is master those three level of temptation. And we call it really basically fellowship, the danger really of fellowship with the world and false believers or unbelievers. In 1 John chapter 2, this is what we read. And by the way, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that, you know, a suggestion implies that you can choose to do it or not do it, to obey it or not obey it, to take the suggestion to heart or to just basically disregard it. But when it comes to this passage of scripture, it is absolutely a command. Many people assume that we only have the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Oh, no, there are many, many, many commandments. And here you find one of them in 1 John chapter 2. And it says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A man came to me at work not too long ago, and that's exactly why I chose to basically am teaching on this passage, one of the reasons. He came to me one time, and you know, it's kind of interesting that how unbelievers always trying to find a nudge in the Bible to discredit what you try to tell them. He came to me one time, I don't know what he was reading or who was he listening to. He says, Jacques, I thought you told me that there are no contradiction in the Bible. I says, I haven't come across one. I says, I've been reading the Bible since 1994, and I've read it every day. I've read the Bible throughout before, from Genesis to Revelation. I've yet come across a contradiction. Now, I have come across things I don't fully understand. That's understandable. I don't know why it was said and the reason that it was said. But as far as contradiction, there is no contradiction. He says, well, then you got a problem. He says, how come the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, yet in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Isn't that a contradiction? If God loved the world, should we not love the world? And I says, you misunderstand the Bible. Now, when it comes to the terms the world here that the Bible mentioned about, love not the world, there are three things in the New Testament that imply what that world means. The first one is actually the physical world, the earth. God had made everything in the world. The Bible, we learn about that in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's one of the definitions of the world. The world implies one way in the Bible, in the New Testament, a physical world. But there is another side to the word world also, and that is you and I as human being. And in fact, in John chapter 3:16, we read about it, for God so loved the world. The world that is implying here is implying that human being as an individual, you and I as a human being. And sometimes these two ideas, the world of the physical and the world of the human beings, the Bible mentioned both of them. And in fact, in John 1:10, this is what the Bible says. He, Jesus, was in the world, meaning earth, was made by him. And the world knew him not. And the world, of course, implying mankind. So Jesus was in the world that he created, the physical world. The world was made by him. The world did not recognize him. Human being did not recognize him as the Savior. So they are very much implying implication of what the world means. Love not the world. It does not mean love not the people of the world or not love the creation, because God made everything, the Bible says, for our enjoyment. But there is something else the Bible is implying when it says love not the world. And that world, the Bible says, you are not to love, implying the world of the unseen. The spiritual world that is governed by Satan himself. The invisible world. that you and I actually cannot see. It is a world system that is opposing to what God wants it to be. The world the Bible talks about for us not to love, it is the world that had forsaken the God who made it. Not the people in general, but the system. There is a system that is set against God, against who God is, against believers, against scriptures, and the Bible says, love not that world. And what the reason the Bible says God, by God tell us, command us not to love the world? There are several reasons. One of the reasons is because of the world, of what the world does to people. Because of what the world does to people. The Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, here's the three danger. For all that is in the world, this is the summation of everything. You can think of every temptation unimaginable to man. Extreme temptation, small temptation, great temptation. It only surmises into three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is the lust of the flesh? If the Bible says we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, and if the Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, should it amount for us to know what the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is? What is the lust of the flesh? Well, in if you compare scripture with scripture, God always provides the answer. Hold your page to 1 John. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians chapter 5 is going to give you a brief list of what the lust of the flesh is. And perhaps you can find yourself, or perhaps some of the people that you know, in that category when Paul described it in Galatians chapter 5. Now I'm going to read verse 16 for context and quickly move to verse 19. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Just as John mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. So Paul came back and says, we as believers must walk according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And again, we're still walking around on what is the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, verse 17, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So much for believers who says, I can do whatever I want to do and God must understand. I can go wherever I want to go and God must understand. No, the flesh is at war against the Spirit and they cannot coexist. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now look at verse 19. For all that is in the flesh, 1 John says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now look at verse 19 in Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Now let me first and foremost say this. This is not an exhaustive list. This is not all there is to it when it comes to the works of the flesh. This is just basically a brief introduction, a brief list of what the works of the flesh is. And see if you can find yourself in that category. Now, the works of the flesh which are manifest, which are these, adultery. What is adultery? It's going on in the world right now. Adultery is when a man is married to a woman or vice versa, a woman married to a man and get into an illicit relationship with somebody else other than your spouse. Adultery. Fornication. What is fornication? Impurity. Sexual immorality. It's basically having an illicit relationship or sexual relationship outside of the marriage bound. And the world is full of it today. Where people are cohabitated, coexisting, they says, well, we might as well, we already cohabitated. What's the point of being married? Because it is right with God. Cohabitating, I'm going to say that loud. I wish I can step into that thing. I'm afraid I might break it. Cohabitation is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Let's call it for what it is. Fornication is a sin. You go to the high school nowadays, the middle school, even to the lower grades, or all throughout the world, fornication is a big thing. fornication, sexual immorality, impurity. And you got the next one, uncleanness. Basically means sensuality, lasciviousness, idolatry, basically worshiping of something else other than the true God. Witchcraft, basically what that is sorcery. The idea of worshiping another God, worshiping the devil. Hatred, variance. What does that word mean, variance? Variance. Jealousy, selfish ambition, basically. Envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, some people looking at this list, they say, well, I don't see homosexuality in there, so therefore it must be okay. If you remember a couple months ago when I was preaching under the will of God, one of the term fornication is basically implying all kinds of illicit sexual immoral act affair. It includes homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, you name it. This list is not an exhaustive list. So when you're looking at the works of the flesh, when you're looking at the world today, examining in the light of Scripture, do you see this description? Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness. Do you see these things in this world? So when the Bible says do not love the world, he's talking about the system of the world, and the system of the world implying this, the works of the flesh. The flesh revolt against God. The flesh says, I want to do whatever I want to do. That's why Paul in the Bible says, have no confidence in the Romans. Have no confidence in the flesh. In Romans 14, Jesus even says the spirit is willing. But what? But the flesh is weak. There is temptations going on out there. It is the works of the flesh. For all that is in the world, the works of the flesh. The flesh says to God, I want to do my own thing. And if the flesh has his own way, the flesh will dethrone God and the flesh will become God. Because his desire is to do that which is against the law of God. And that's why John look at this thing. He says, do not fall in love with the world. Because why? You fall in love with it, it attached to your flesh, which is already weak. And once the devil captivate your flesh, you got problems. Love not the world because it implying the flesh. The flesh. And then there is a second sin. Not only we are not to love the world. Again, not the people of the world, but the system of the world that is corrupted and behind Satan himself. Jesus called him the God of this world. Satan is called the God of this world. There's another sin, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. You know, your eyes are a gift from God, the Bible says. It enables you to see the beautiful creation of God, the things that God has made, so you can understand and fully appreciate the beautiness and the glory of God. But yet it is one of the most beautiful things that also the devil is using to get people into sin, to plunder people into sin, your eyes. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, if you can turn there with me, and then we're going to explain some of the tragic event of the lust of the flesh. In Matthew chapter 6, this is what Jesus says regarding that, and it's kind of fascinating that John brought it up again in First John chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, after Jesus talking about where you are not to lay treasures up on the earth, where doth and moth does corrupt, in verse 19, but lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves no break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in verse 22 in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, the light of the body is what? what govern your whole body, what make your soul for what it is the eye. If, therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. Meaning, if you focus in on the thing of God, if you meditate on the things of God, if you basically focus in all your attention of the things of God, the Bible says your whole body should be full of light. Jesus said that. But, there's always a contrast, but if thine eye be evil, unhealthy, full of fleshly desires, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in thee, in other words, if you think that your eyes can be used for good and you are applying for evil, you think like you can get away with it. If thine eye be, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If your eyes is not focusing on the things of the Lord, and it's focusing on the thing of this earth, of fleshly, earthly desire, of sensual, sexual desire, how great is that darkness? You know, the issues with the eye, it's a big issue. Big issue. You want to know why? You don't want to know what caused our first parents to fall? In Genesis chapter 3, when the devil came with the temptation, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, when Eve saw that the food was good, the tree was good for food, when she saw it, someone says, your eyes is the light to your soul. You allow evil things to come in into your soul, you have problems. When Eve saw what caused our first parents to fall into sin, into temptation, and what makes this whole world corrupt as it is right now, is because Eve saw the tree and she wanted it. The tree was good for food and it was able to make her wise. The devil put it in a beautiful category. And the Bible says after she saw it, she must have coveted because she took the fruit and ate. You fast forward a little further in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was supposed to be at war with the army of Israel. And then he decided to stay home. And while he was at home in his balcony, he noticed Bathsheba was bathing in the water. Instead of him being at war at the time, he saw Bathsheba and he lusted after her. And guess what happened? He went and up sleeping with her, and that changed his entire kingdom. His entire kingdom changed over that little sin. And how the whole thing got started? Because his eyes saw something. You go back a little bit further. In Joshua chapter 7, God told the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Ai, make sure, and the Amalekite, make sure you destroy everything that they have. Men, women, children, house, burn all of it down. But there was a man named Achan. When he saw the beautiful thing that the Amalekite has, he says, I want to have some of that. He saw it. He coveted, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, and he took it for himself. And guess what happened? His entire family was burned alive by the children of Israel, because when they went to war with Ai, a little small army, they got destroyed because one man in the army sinned. The eyes. Eve fall for it. Achan fall for it. David fall for it. It is no wonder in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, you are to look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Your eyes are to be focusing on things above, Colossians chapter says. Set your affection on things above. Why? Because if you look at things on the earth, the devil gonna make it glorious. Your eyes will deceive you. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus Christ, one of the temptations that he presented to Jesus, he took him up into a high mountain. And the Bible says he showed him all the kingdom in the world of the world. Jesus saw it. That must have been a sight to see. tried to tempt Jesus. So he tempted Eve, so he tempted David, so he tempted Achan, and then he came in the New Testament, he presented the whole temptation again to Jesus to look and see, I can have this. And how did Jesus fight that battle? When he looked at everything, he says, hey, when you saw it, all this can be yours. All you have to do is bow down and worship me and all will be yours. A little quick bow, it's yours. And Jesus looking at him and says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. You're not going to tempt me to the lust of the eyes. Why? Because the devil knew he works in the past, certainly can work again. You want to know the devastating thing about it? In Numbers chapter 25, a fascinating story occurred with the children of Israel again. They were walking into the land of Canaan. They were destroying everything in their path. And you know the story. Balak called on Balaam to curse the children of Israel. You remember Balaam and the donkey? Balak called him to curse the children of Israel. And no matter, which, by the way, Balaam was a false prophet. And everything that he does, instead of cursing the children of Israel, he ended up actually blessing them. And so finally, Balak was so discouraged. He says, "What? Every time I call you, I told you to do something, and it has not been done. How can this possible?" Balaam looked at him in Numbers and says, 21, 22, says, "I cannot curse what God has blessed. Can't do it." Balaam says, "Is there anything I can do?" And in chapter 31 in Numbers, Balaam counseled Balak and says, oh yeah, there is one thing you can do. Get some of the beautiful women of the Moabites, them attractive one. Dress them real nice. Make them wear spandex. And have them walk in front of the men of Israel. Turn around a little bit. Hey. Because if God has protected them, make God become their own enemy. Because once they saw the woman, they're going to be all. And men, we are so stupid. The same temptation that happened back then, it still occurred now. We saw all of a sudden, instead of you turn away, you begin to process it. It's a progression. You saw, you covered it. And you know what happened? Balak did. And in number chapter 25, the women came. Attractive women. And the men saw it, says, and they began to turn away from the Lord and follow the Moabites woman. And guess what happened? God was so angry. The same God who has protected the children of Israel all along the way, it's the same one who got so angry and he killed 24,000 of them in one day. Why? Be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? The same temptation is going on today. Jesus made it clear. The light of the body, your soul, open to everything through your eyes. Through your eyes. And it is one of the works of the flesh. So now John described the idea that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because if anybody fall in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You fall in love with this type of thing, the love of God will diminish if not no exist. Jesus made it clear. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You fall in love with the world. Watch yourself with the love of God. It goes down. Very soon you'll see people begin to leave the church. Church is far away from them. Bible reading began to be far away from them. Prayer began to be far away from them. Witnessing began far away from them. Very soon, you know it, you don't even know whether they were even genuinely saved. Why? Because they fall in love with the world system. And so John look at it. He says, you fell in love with the flesh? all the description that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, you got problems. You fall in love with the lust of the eyes, and everything that happened in history dictate to us that is a big issue, you got problems. So don't love the world because it arouses your flesh. Don't love the world because it corrupts your eyes. We are not to do that. And you fell in fellowship with the world. It is a very dangerous thing to do, the Bible says. Dangerous. The lust of the flesh, sensuality. The lust of the eye, covetousness. It's big. And how many examples do we need? How many examples we need? We saw David. We saw Eve, Adam and Eve. We saw David. We saw Samson. I forgot about him. He saw a woman of the Philistine. He says, I want her. And guess what happened? That woman, guess what? Psh, caused him his eyes. You saw Adam and Eve. You saw David. You saw Samson. You saw Achan. You saw people after people after people after people who fall in love with the eyes, lust of the eyes. I was teaching that one time, and a man walked up to me, and he says, so what's your solution, Jack? What do you recommend me to do? I says, it's simple. Don't look at beautiful woman. Says, you're implying that people, there are ugly people in the world. No. I said, stop looking at beautiful women. It's the same guy, actually, who tried to make me say, have you watched the pageant, the beauty pageant? Why do I want to watch that? Why? The only thing that come out of it is what? It's arousing sin that is already in you. Do you know you don't have to do anything to sin? It's already in you. All you need is a little spark. That's why the Bible commanded us we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sin is already in us. All it needs is a little match to explode. So be careful what you watch on television. What you thought is innocent is the very same thing that can cause you to fall. Be careful what you hear. The lust of the eyes. So we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's kind of interesting. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So can people say, okay, I'm in sin, but God's still okay with me? We have churches now that promote homosexuality, sexual pastors. As I'm a homosexual, but I'm a pastor. No. If you're part of that world, do you have the love of God? The answer to that is no. If any man, nobody is excluded. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is all in the world? The lust of the flesh. Can you contain that? Can you fight that? Can you actually combat that? You know, your flesh, you can't separate from your flesh. It is no wonder the Bible says when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to transform our body. Because this flesh, if it gets to heaven for what it is right now, heaven will be hell. No wonder God's going to transform my body. Can you separate from your flesh? This flesh is your biggest enemy. Your eyes, which is part of your body. The devil is using your own strength. He's using your greatest asset as your greatest liability. He's bringing you down on your own strength. You want this. The flesh wants this. I want a brand new car. Even though I can't afford it, I can barely make the mortgage, but I want a brand new car. And so the flesh forces you to do things that you don't want to do. And then the eyes get right back to you. A double whammy. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and here's the third sin, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that pride goes before destruction. You know what caused the devil to fall out of heaven? Pride. Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Because you says, I. Pride got into him. And God says, no. How is that related to us in terms of the pride of life? Have you ever known a Christian who cannot basically don't have the means, they're living beyond their means, but they still continue to get themselves in debt? Why is that? Because they want people to know they got all things. I got the biggest car, and yet you're in debt. I got the biggest house, yet you're in debt. You let the pride of life, so people can see what you're doing, it's all about you, get you into trouble. The pride of life. It's interesting he says the pride of life, because what constitutes life? Things that you and I need. But some people turn something to want. I want. Just like the devil says, I. And the Bible says, not my will be done, but God's will be done. You allow pride to take hold of your heart. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before fall. And the Bible says all these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all of these things will be passed away one day. All of it. You got nothing else but your life before God. But he that doeth the will of God. What is the will of God? We mentioned that last time. Save, sanctify, transform, give thanks. Remember them? He that doeth the will of God. So the question you need to ask yourself is, are you focusing more on the things of the flesh? Are you letting your eyes deceive you into sin? Are you letting pride get hold of your life? Because it might be your education. You think you're smarter than anybody. It might be because of your possession. Just like the man in Luke who had his barn bring forth plentiful things. I mean, he had revenues after revenues. And instead of him give God the glory, he took a step back and he says, soul that has much good for many years. Eat, drink, and be married. Pride got hold of him. I got all this stuff for many years. And God says, you're a fool. You can gain all the materialistic thing. But if your life is not right with God, what good does it do? You can have all what the world has to offer, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You can have all of it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain what? The whole world. Everything that the world has to offer. And you realize you lose your soul. The lust of the flesh. You know, everything that the devil did is always contrary to what God wants to do in our lives. And John, looking at it, he says, don't fall for that. Do not love the world. Not the people, not the creation, but don't fall in love with the system. Do not be entrapped with the system of the world. Because the moment that you do that, you forget God. You have forgotten God. In Jeremiah chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to briefly quote it. God talks about all the thing that the children of Israel has done, how he has saved them, he had delivered them, he had protected them. He did everything that he can do for them. And then finally, the children of Israel turned their back so far away from God to materialistic thing, to things that are of this world, things that are basically unimportant. In Jeremiah 2:32, God says, the children of Israel, my people have forgotten me days without numbers. Paul in the gospel, in the New Testament, he says, Demas has forsaken me because of the things of this world. Demas was one of Paul's disciples, walking with Paul, do everything according to the Lord with Paul. And because he allowed the things of this world, he forsake God for the things of this world. When you're looking at your life, can you honestly say that I do not love the world more than I love God? You says, nah, that's not me. I'm a true believer. I'm a genuine believer. Okay. Have you been keeping up with your Bible study? Have you been keeping up with prayer? Or are you so caught up with the things of the world when your TV show come on, you can't miss it, that you forsake prayer for television? You forsake prayer for something in the world. You forsake Bible study for things of this world. And all of that will be passing away. And it might not be something sinful. It might be something trivial. But yet, because you have abandoned the things of God, it poses a danger. When you fall in fellowship with the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. So I want you to do a heart search tonight and ask yourself, do I follow the things of this world? Do I follow after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes? Do I have pride in my heart? The Bible says God resisted the proud, but he elevated the humble. The danger of fellowship with the world, what does it do? What's the danger? You do not have the love of the Father. You can't serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge. Would you be one of the individuals who says, I want to do what God will have me to do. I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm going to follow what God wants me to follow. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, those are the three levels of temptation. Those are the three dangers. All you and I have to do is try to master this. What are the lusts of the flesh? Let's learn to master that. And then focusing in our eyes, in our heart. The lust of the flesh, that's physical. The lust of the eyes, that's your soul. And the pride of life, that's your spirit. The devil confronted us in three levels, just like he did with Jesus. Your body, your soul, your spirit. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, your soul. Just like Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. And he attacking you from your spirit for pride of life. And it can be any of us. Could you say, I will want to do what God would have me to do. I will follow Jesus no matter where he leads me to go. And I will forsake the things of the world. Understand that one day everything of this world will pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3 says the world and everything in it will be burned up. So why invested on something that eventually gonna be vaporized one day? Why not invested in something that is eternal? Your spiritual life with God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. Paul tell the Colossians, and it can be us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight, and in the brief message that we have in explaining the danger of fellowship with the world. And the moment we start fellowship with the world, we actually ended up fellowship with false believers or unbelievers. And as a result, the lust of the flesh, which are already in us, the lust of the eyes, which is already in us, and the pride of life,